and welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And what an exciting couple of weeks.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Pride season.
Yes, it is.
Happening everywhere. You know what? Last week, we had a good old... We made fun of those crazy Christians.
The crazy ones, yeah.
Yes, and I'm being very specific
here. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's maybe like six of them.
This morning I was watching a documentary on the history of science, and something that came up again and again and again is, you know, at the Jesuit monastery, there's this weird history with the Jesuits and science that's kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the ones I'm referring to are the ones that are picketing and protesting various prides. Well, anyway, so last week we were talking about how we felt that it was cowardly and unfair that they were targeting small prides.
The small prides, right.
Well, it turns out...
Oh!
They went and targeted Toronto Pride.
How did that turn out?
Which is like the biggest pride in the whole world. In the world. No, I think that one's in Brazil, but no, it's...
It depends on the year. For a while there, it was Australia, their Mardi Gras.
Like the Sydney Mardi Gras?
Yeah, the Mardi Gras one. There was LA's pride was pretty big. New York's pride is huge. Tel Aviv's pride is huge. Because it's not just for Israel. It's for like that entire neck of the woods. There's one in Europe that's massive. It's not London. It might be Amsterdam. No, Amsterdam's not big. It's pretty low-key from what I understand.
Well, the city of Amsterdam's also pretty compact.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's very difficult to have a big volume of people there, I would imagine. It would sink.
Well, yeah. Also, it's mostly tourists. That's anyway. True.
But no, I thought it was Sao Paulo or something. I thought it was in Brazil where it was absolutely massive.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway,
I mean, it would be like the. It's sort of like Oktoberfest in Kitchener-Waterloo is the world's largest Oktoberfest
because there's just more people. Because
it's the Oktoberfest for all of Southwest Ontario, as opposed to like if you go to Germany, like every block and neighborhood has its own little festival going on. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the huge festivals. That's usually what's going on.
That's fair. So yeah, they picketed the Toronto Festival, Toronto Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
There was like so many counter protesters, and our good friend Maurice Tomlinson.
Oh yes.
Who's good old Maurice. Yes. Married to Tom Decker, who's a priest, actually went with I think it was his bishop, and they actually stood in the because they were marching in the parade, and they stood in the parade route and like stopped anybody passing by, being like, you know, God does love you.
Aww.
You know, hear the psalms that talk about it, and just like not preached, but like offered words of assurance.
Yeah.
That their ridiculous signage, and I read a close up of the signage. It is just ridiculous. I mean, they just need better signage to begin with.
Sometimes they pull out passages where you're like, okay, Deuteronomy 5:7. Let's look this up, and it's like a passage about like
shellfish or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you know, someone who was weaving and and not, you know, if you keep reading the story, it eventually gets to the point. But the thing that's referenced is about weaving. You know, you get weird things like that.
Mm.
Matthew 4:26, I think, is like that as well. People put that on everything, and then you read it, what does this have to do with anything? So, yeah. There's a lot of that going on when you see these Christian protesters. You know, God said
very,
in this thing.
Very specific.
Yeah, and then you look it up, and you're like, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I'm really sorry there, guy.
No, and we are referring to, very specific protesters. The ones, I think, like I said, there were only six not very good-looking placards.
Yeah. Your biggest complaint about them was that the sign did not match
Toronto,
their belt
yes.
and did not match their shoes.
You know, in Toronto, yes, because I believe that in Toronto there was such a comprehensive volume of counter-protest.
Okay.
Of people demonstrating love and appreciation and acceptance that you didn't need to worry about them being there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it had less impact.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of comes to that. Now, a little later in the show, we are very excited to actually feature, and we're going to be trying doing a bit more of this. We're actually going to be featuring Gender Talk which is a talk about gender. And actually, they introduced the show themselves, so I won't give the game away. But it is a show out of CFRC in Kingston, Ontario.
But the worst part, it wasn't like that originally. Apparently, Canada originally had all sorts of, like, really interesting place names. And then some duke came along and said, what's with all this foreignese crap? And then just, like, Rename them all. Rename them all to, like, Kingston, Paris and London, and Kingston,
Cardiff.
Yeah.
There's a Cardiff, Ontario.
I think it was North Bay used to be called Saint Marguerite parmi les pins, so Saint Margaret from among the pines, which I think is actually a pretty name. But then, so call it something else. It's a bay. It's in the north. Call it North Bay. Thunder Bay is a badass name.
Prone to thunder?
I mean,
you would assume so.
It's on Lake Superior.
You know, I'd be very disappointed if it got there, and you know, you lived there and you never witnessed a thunderstorm. I mean, that would just be best thunderstorms I've ever seen was in Winnipeg. I think I may have told you that. Anyway, we'll be guest featuring a few different shows over the next couple of months from LGBT Canadian content from across Canada. I am very excited. I was listening to the Queerios a little while back. I told you about them.
Oh, yes.
Gender Talk is, they were very, very informative. The conversation they'll be having later is around the difference between transgender and transsexual. Now, it's interesting because as they talk, and we're not going to really speak to what they were talking about, but as they were talking, I was thinking, you know, they're working off of definitions from 2002, and in Ottawa and in Toronto, the conversations moved forward. So we may not entirely agree with some of their definitions, but it's a very good conversation either way.
They have the right to disagree.
Absolutely.
I looked it up.
What is it?
Because I'm that kind of nerd.
You want that nerd.
There are 5 cities in Canada called Kingston.
Oh my gosh.
They're all on the East Coast. New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward. And the one in Ontario is on the St. Lawrence Seaway. It's all,
all waterfaring. Well, Kingston, Ontario is where this one is based.
Yeah.
So we're quite excited. And either next week or the week after, we will actually be playing a show featuring, we'll be featuring a show from Rainbow Radio out of CJSW in Calgary. Now, this particular show, I believe, is actually Indigenous folks interviewing other Indigenous folks about being two-spirited. So I'm very excited that Alex Naylor was the producer behind that.
I'm
able to send that along.
I'm looking forward to that. I hear a lot of people talking about two-spirited, but not a lot of people who are two-spirited just talking about whatever.
Well, we're so thankful that actual program won a National Community Radio Award, the Out Loud Award, which recognizes programming by and for LGBT folks in community radio. So it really is the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very excited to have it featured on our show in a couple of weeks or in a week's time, depending on how things go. Either way, keep listening and stay tuned. Now, Pride is happening everywhere. A little later, the Gender Talk folks talk about Kingston Pride that happened a little while back.
Okay.
Toronto Pride's happened. I am kind of excited. We might make a little road trip to Montreal Pride again.
Ooh.
I saw who was lined up for the bill to perform on their free main stage. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about that.
Ottawa has the last major Pride in Canada, so we will have nothing to say local for another month and a half.
Yes. I would believe that.
Almost, yeah. So it's a bit of a thing every year where in maybe May and June, there's all sorts of early announcements about what Ottawa Pride is going to look like. But then because of what happens in New York and Toronto, especially New York and Toronto, because they're so close, things often get overhauled. So there might be a late July controversy because there's always a late July controversy in Ottawa. It just comes down to the timing. It's so amazing how timing can change everything.
Yep, or ruin all of the things.
Isn't Tel Aviv one of the first ones as well?
I don't know when Tel Aviv is, but what I'm most looking forward to is actually the drag performances on August the 16th.
Okay.
Because they have just secured, I mean, I'm pretty sure RuPaul doesn't have as many RuPaul drag queens at one event as Montreal is at one event.
Okay.
I mean, the headliner is Bianca Del Rio. I mean, enough said. Adore Delano, Aja, Bibi Sahara Benet, Pearl, Ms. Cracker, Monet Exchange, Shangela. It's just, I mean, for any drag queens out there, there is nowhere better to be than, I mean, Shangela's amazing. Ms. Cracker.
I mean, isn't
Morgan
there
Michaels?
I'm not really a RuPaul
Neither, I mean, I say that, but I have watched pretty much every season for the last few years.
And there's also the controversy. And actually, we could probably talk about this in the future. But, you know, just the idea of when you import celebrity drag queens, you also displace the success of the local drag queens.
Absolutely.
Only for one day, though, so it's not too big a problem.
Well, it's a three-hour drag extravaganza, really. There's no other word for it.
If there's no swearing at this event, I would demand my money back. Yeah. 3 hours of drag queens and I'm not offended at least twice? What's the point?
Well, Bianca Del Rio's right there. You'll be offended before you get in the door. And it's a free event. And this is what I kind of adore about, you know, Pride events is that they're huge free things. So you're a bit more in the loop with what's going on in Ottawa. What do we have to look forward in August in Ottawa?
I know Biff Naked is coming to Ottawa. And there's... You ask me, and it's been a while since I've looked at the thing, but a few local artists, obviously, big events.
So, it's all going on. I mean, Justin Trudeau raised the Pride flag on Parliament Hill. They put up a little stage, raised the flag on the stage, because there are so many rules around raising flags and not raising flags.
Yeah. That
it's like, I think it was quite an innovative compromise.
Because last year was the first year they raised a flag on Parliament Hill, but it wasn't actually on one of the Parliament Hill flagpoles.
No,
they raised a flagpole just to put the flag up.
Yeah, it's like a bring your own flagpole to work day kind of situation. We also had in Toronto the separate Until We're Safe march. Which kind of went out to acknowledge that folks in Toronto still don't feel entirely safe. Of course, this is relating to the Bruce MacArthur murders as well.
Oh, yes.
So those conversations are still happening.
Oh, yes.
And there's definitely a lot of reason for folks to still not feel super safe.
Especially in Toronto. I've seen so many conversations over the past maybe 5 or 6 months where one person will start talking about the police and somebody else will say, you know, well, you know, there's been a lot of progress over the past 40 years and things are not that bad anymore, da 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 da. And then the first person will say, oh, I was talking about Toronto. And the second person will say, oh, well, yeah, okay, you're right then. Like, it's turning into a thing where Toronto is, their traffic problems are the least of their problems. Because I'm sure you also read about that. The article that declared Toronto to have the worst traffic on the continent.
I would believe that, though.
Worse than Mexico City, somehow. But anyway.
Clearly, they don't have the 401 in Mexico City. That's what it is.
The world's deadliest highway. That's,
I would believe
but
that.
But it's Toronto, they're not doing great. It's not ideal. They could do better.
Well, there's a lot of places that could do better. And actually, there was some shocking news out of BC, and at the same time, disappointingly not shocking.
Okay.
So in the city of Surrey in BC, which I think is like Vancouver greater area, I'm surprised Vancouver hasn't swallowed up most of BC now, like
it kind
the
of
same
has.
Way that Toronto just inhaled southern Ontario.
I don't think BC is into super cities the way they are in Ontario.
Well, I don't think anybody else was into super cities except for Toronto. And, well, I mean, like
Ottawa.
I said, inhaled. I mean, Ottawa's not really a super city.
But it's still
nice. It takes a half hour to get from one side to the other. And that's including mini cities we kind of gobbled up.
It takes 2 hours to cross Ottawa.
Well, I don't believe you. Anyway, back to Surrey, BC. They had just completed a nice, beautiful rainbow crosswalk, and within less than a couple of days maybe, very briefly, white paint cans tossed all over it, completely ruined. There was actually, I think it was in Paris, there was a sidewalk this past week that was also defaced, and the mayor of Paris just announced, that's it, we're doubling our rainbow budget. He's like, we're going to make all of the things rainbow, which I think was a great response. But for folks, our friends out in BC, and our listeners out in BC, because of course, we are broadcast out of Vancouver in Burnaby. You know, this is quite shocking.
I mean, it makes it seem like Ottawa's problem is just so pedestrian, because the problem we have here is they keep painting the rainbow sidewalk with substandard quality paint, and it rubs off in 2 months. And I think, in the grand scheme of things, that's not that bad. And I don't know. My heart kind of goes out for everyone around the world who are dealing with things like that. Because you know, it's one of those things where, like, on the one hand, it's just paint on a sidewalk, but on the other hand, it means something.
It does, and it kind of, it says this is a city that values, you know, the freedom of
they're being willing able to put around. Municipal taxpayer money into supporting a community.
$8,500 was how much it cost.
To paint a sidewalk.
To paint, I mean, it's very good paint.
I would hope so.
Because it was supposed to last for 5 years.
Okay.
Now we have to fix it because some Cretin. Fool has put white paint over the top of it. So really, it's just costing the taxpayer even more. I was actually in Lethbridge, Alberta, where many of our listeners may be. Mm-hmm. And I saw a rainbow crosswalk there, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well, there's people in the city that are allies, you know, and that's good to see. And I'm maybe mixing it up with Fredericton, actually. I forget which one was which. But in Vancouver, they have the Rainbow Crosswalk, and in Coquitlam as well, out in BC, they also have it.
BC just has the one?
Two.
Two?
Well, two and a vandalized one, so three.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I assume they'll be fixing it soon.
Ugh.
But yeah, not great news out of Surrey, BC.
They could get around it by just putting it into the asphalt. I actually learned some time ago that asphalt is naturally light gray, and the reason why it's black is because they add colorant to it. And I know this because I asked a guy who was laying down lime green asphalt in the parking lot of an auto dealer, and the auto dealer had put like color-coded the different parking lots according to whether things were on sale or where they were arrived or whatever.
Oh, neat.
So there was, like, different colors of asphalt. And I was like, is this normal? And they're like, yeah, most people just cheap out and get the black. And it's like, is it cheaper to get the black? And the guy was like, actually, no, it's the same cost one way or another. It's just everyone just asks for black. But no, you can do it different colors. So if they just put down different colored asphalt, if you paint it, you can just scrub it off.
See, you should have had a word with with the Polish monument.
I should just run everything. Absolutely. That's what we're coming down to.
So we mentioned before about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, their retreat in late July.
Okay.
And I talked about how the fact that in Nova Scotia, in Pugwash, Nova Scotia, they are bringing in some... Well, and we had a discussion that they claim not to be conversion therapy speakers.
All right.
It's broadly understood by many folks that they are conversion therapy speakers.
Right.
Anyway, they're still coming.
Okay.
Despite, you know, pleas for them not to, condemnation, they're still coming. So the local pride group and service center have now started a petition to try and build up continued pressure to get them to not come. But they're giving a speech, and I think the danger is not what's going to happen in that session. Because my understanding is like a conference, and they'd just be speaking to the work they do.
Okay.
But the worry is what happens with all of those folks who become empowered to then carry on this conversion therapy approach to all of the communities that they go back to.
Well, I mean, it's illegal, so I'm not really worried.
Well, it's not. It depends on where you are.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
City of Vancouver recently made it illegal.
Yeah, and they're pressing for the whole province. And I think Ontario, most but not all kinds of conversion therapy are illegal. And the ones that are legal, I think, are technically conversion therapy, but they don't do the torture bit. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen an update, because they come hard and fast, right? You read a huge article and you're like, okay, I got this nailed. I know what's going on. A week later, nope, you're out of date already.
So it's worth noting that the Seventh Adventist Church has said that they do not promote conversion therapy.
Okay.
And they're making this a matter of prayer. So, like I said, and I think that, I mean, I'm not expecting them to come out and do a conversion there and then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more about what does this demonstrate as something that is of value enough for them to pay somebody to fly out to come and speak to it. Like, that's where they're placing their values. And it's very, very disconcerting. And I think what it does is it demonstrates to folks who may, like I say, be looking to reconcile their faith with their sexuality. And it's just, it's not good. It's not good.
I would like to see a church do a group where they get people who are uncomfortable with their sexuality and help them become comfortable with their sexuality by using the Bible. That would be a thing. So, like, gay conversion therapy where you're converting gays into gays instead of like closeted straight people, you know.
I think that's called Queer Eye on Netflix. I think that's what that is.
No,
it's a gay conversion.
No. I know a lot of people who that made them ashamed to be gay. It's kind of a thing.
The new series is wonderful. I still think you need to give that one a try.
I admit I still haven't seen it. I watched two episodes of the older series and I was like, this is like the worst of us right now.
Well, the new series is just, like I said, wonderful.
But it does now, have the guy from Game of Thrones. That's the only reason why I would give it a try. Yeah, because
Jonathan Van Ness.
I've seen interviews with him.
And he has a great podcast. It's called...
He's a really
Curious
sweet
with Jonathan. Yeah. Jonathan with Curious. Curiosity with Jonathan. I forget what it is.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that this past week as well, the UN Special Rapporteur on LGBT issues has also said that really, conversion therapy should just be banned globally.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's, you know, it doesn't work, and it's creating a... It's a wolf in sheep's clothing for persecution against the LGBT community. Now, last story of the day.
Right.
We didn't get to any international news again because there's so much going on in Canada.
Right.
The legislation that expunges convictions of homosexuality has now passed.
Right.
So they're now able to erase the past criminal convictions for buggery, gross indecency, and anal intercourse.
This is from the criminal records, not from the history records, right?
Well, I mean, if you'd have to go to every single textbook to fix it.
Okay, because it's one of those things where, like, we need to remember the history. Like, if we can't expunge the history of it.
It expunges
the criminal records.
Absolutely.
Got it, okay. Then
so if any of our listeners are listening and want more information on it, reach out. I believe it's being handled by the Parole Board of Canada at the moment to sort that
Perfect.
Out.
Perfect.
Well, we have run out of time.
Oh, no!
I know. It is so true. Well, we're going to jump in with a couple of songs. This is Parachute Club, Rise Up, because I wanted to.
Because you wanted to.
And that'll be followed by Loving, So You're a Superstar. And later on, after the gender talk portion of this week's show, which is a guest feature from Kingston, Ontario, we'll be playing out with Diamond Rings, Runaway Love. I've been Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. And thank you for listening, and also for listening to what you're about to hear.
Absolutely. And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
reach for the sky and hold your head up high for tonight and every night. You're a superstar, and don't you be afraid. Think of all the friends you made. Like any other night, you've got your name in lights. You're a superstar.
Kingston, where we remember that gender is a spectrum and we all should have the right to live our lives as the people we really are. Gender Talk Kingston is broadcast on CFRC FM 101.9 MHz and streamed on CFRC.ca. This is Gender Talk Kingston, and I am Teresa, and for the record, I am a woman, so please use the pronouns she and her. And I'm joined today with...
Oh, hi, it's Aaron. We're back again for another show on a bright, sunny day here in Kingston, and welcome to Gender Talk. And unfortunately, Violet could not be here with us, and hopefully she's listening, so sorry that you couldn't make it Violet, we miss you, so...
How has your week been?
It's been a good week. So, busy, so back in the classroom and stuff like that. So that's that almost keeps me out of trouble, but not quite. So it takes a lot to keep me out of trouble. So, yeah. But, no, it was good and a good weekend. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the Pride events, but I got a lot of my marking done, so still able to enjoy parts of the weekend, and Jules and I had a wonderful weekend, so enjoyed the sun and some time together. It was wonderful. So, hi, Jules.
Yes, Saturday turned out to be a wonderful day. It started off rather gray and gloomy, but the clouds broke, the sun come out, and we had a wonderful Pride parade.
Yeah, it looks like you got a bit of sun. I see some red there, so...
Yeah, mostly on my arms. I used an umbrella, so it kept the sun off my face.
Okay. Yeah, but the word on the street is that it was a great event. So the week was a really good. I kept hearing things during the week while I was here, and then the weekend I heard went really well. So
I really didn't get
congrats
involved.
To everybody involved.
I really didn't get involved with anything during the week. I just did the village fair and the actual parade, and this time I walked the parade.
Oh, there you go. You're feeling pretty good.
Yes, I was.
Good.
So it's probably the biggest Pride parade Kingston's ever had.
Oh, wow, that's excellent. I know it's been growing every year because last year was a huge turnout compared to previous years as well. So it's good to know it's getting bigger and better. So, yeah, congrats to Kingston Pride for doing that, and all the volunteers and numerous and copious numbers of volunteers that helped out. So
there were a lot of volunteers to help direct the parade route,
which is perfect.
This year we didn't have to stop for traffic lights like last year.
Go good.
We had volunteers out to block traffic.
Nice.
Thankfully.
And no one gave any of our volunteers any grief for doing that, so that's good.
Oh, I saw a few cars turn around.
Well, that's fine. Well, that's okay. I mean, I have no issue with that, as long as they don't get out and yell at the parade marchers or participants, I should say. So
it might be time to take a bit of a break.
Sure, let's take a break, and that way we can jump right into our topic for today and go for it. So stand by and come on back.
And we'll be right back, so please keep tuned in.
Believe that you are special. Believe you've got a gift. The gift of life.
You are listening to Gender Talk Kingston on CFRC-FM, broadcasting at 101.9 MHz and streaming on CFRC.ca.
Gift of life is all you're going to need.
And welcome back. We're going to be talking about transsexual versus transgender, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really a complicated subject, and it's can be a bit of a nasty subject. It's mostly, I haven't heard about the animosity for some time, so I'm not really sure how prevalent it is.
Yeah. C'est compliqué. So, yeah, I mean, I think the animosity is sort of dying down a little bit, although I have noticed in articles written from 2016 on around transsexual, the medical community seems to have latched onto that terminology in a very narrow definition more than they have before.
That could be. I personally like using the term transsexual when we're dealing with those who do want to transition with both hormones and surgery.
Yes.
Because I think it's a more accurate term than transgender. Transgender can actually mean anything in the gender community. So.
Right. And that's what their documentation seems to outline, is that transgender tends to be an umbrella term, and transsexual is very specific to those who have gone as far as they medically can to become the gender that they were born with. And they very narrowly define it. Now, take that is the medical community. Doesn't mean that it's society in general or the LGBTQ plus community in general either. But that's what I'm seeing in the literature, somewhere about 2016 on.
Okay. It actually was before then, too, but significantly. But before we get started, we're going to talk about a few definitions. And I'm not going to read off everything here.
It's just a reminder.
Cisgender or individuals or those whose gender identity closely aligns with the gender normally associated with their sex at birth. skip the rest of that paragraph. And
yes. So then the next definition in this conversation will be transgender people, and those are people whose gender identity does not align with their gender normally associated with their sex assigned at birth.
So skipping the rest of that paragraph. Transsexual people, this is where we get into the important stuff, are considered by many to be transgender, but not by all.
Exactly.
Transsexual patients are those who have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria and have an intense desire to change sexes as far as it's medically possible. This means they could be taking hormones and possibly considering or already have had the surgery.
Yes, and they're tightening that definition down to be if you to actually have had the surgery or it's imminent, you've got a date and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So not just the thought about it, but you've actually committed to it or have had it. That's how tight the definition's starting to get defined.
Mm-hmm.
So just to note that we're being somewhat simplistic here, as there are transgender people who do not identify as transsexual individuals who also experience gender dysphoria, which is very, very true. Even though it's an umbrella statement or an umbrella category of transgender, they also experience gender dysphoria. Another point is that not all who identify as transsexual people will take hormones or have surgery. That's the way they self-identify, not the way the medical community would identify them. And this can be because of finances or health concerns or dissatisfaction or perceived dissatisfaction with the potential outcome of the surgery. So
why would transsexual people not feel they are transgender individuals? To say it's complicated would certainly be true.
Say complicated.
In an online article by Catherine Platine, we learn, quote, gender is fixed at birth for most people. It is an internal sense of who you are in regards to male or female, and transsexuals know what their gender is. They don't, quote, trans, end quote, or cross-gender. It is a constant from birth on, the reason why they are driven to change their bodies to match their gender. They are transsexuals because they trans the sexual characteristics they are born with. If you aren't driven to make this match, you aren't transsexual. If you are, you aren't transgender, end quote. I'm going to read on here.
Okay, yep.
This was written in 2002, and there have been improvements in understanding since then, but we hope you get the idea. The article goes on to talk about the need for medical intervention for transsexual patients, where this isn't necessary for the vast majority of transgender people.
Very true.
The medical stuff costs money.
Stuff.
Well, okay. Thankfully, it's considered a medical necessity in Canada, so it's covered by the provincial medical systems to some degree.
For now.
Yes, we have Doug Ford in power.
So. Yes, and there's rumors flying around right now. So,
for other transgender people, the only cost may be having another wardrobe to be able to express either gender, both genders, or no gender at all. For many, they can live the weekend as one gender and live and work as the other on Monday. Transsexual people usually change gender once, and that's it.
Yes. Actually, they confirm their gender would be a more accurate way to say it.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the one thing I have, and so, yes, keeping in mind this was written in 2002, so the one thing I sort of stuck out, the first part of this quote that you just read, if I recall, it was, she said, gender is fixed at birth for most people. I would take that to task and say everybody, but that's
like I said, it was written in 2002.
Yeah, exactly, and I preface my comment by saying that as well. So that's the other thing. And about 30% of people have the surgeries for whatever reasons, lack of financial resources, family support, access to the surgeries, or just not wanting to. So not everyone does. So, and yes, there's rumors flying around that Doug Ford is going to take the gender confirmation surgery off the OHIP approved list. So,
and that, of course, will end up in court.
It totally will end up in court, and it'll probably get slammed. However, like, seriously, really? Yeah. Like, Anyway, don't get me started.
Well,
we'll go down the rest of the show on that topic. So.
When this election got underway, I was really scared about what Doug Ford could do. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he'll be doing it, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So doctors have their own idea about transgender people. Part of the process for transitioning is a part known as real life experience. And this is something that the surgeons for the surgery all require. As far as I know, they all require. Mm-hmm. This is where the patient must spend a period of time living as a gender they really are. And it can vary anywhere from 1 to 2 years, depending on your surgeon. We're told that there are expectations that go over and above even what a cis person would have to do. There's one story of where a trans woman showed up for a therapy session in jeans, and she was denied the surgery as a result. I guess they expected her to show up in a frock. And dresses and stuff. Like, yeah. Seriously? Yeah. Like, I am in jeans a lot when I'm not at work. So, gatekeeping abuses such as this did happen in the past, and they still happen in some countries, and in fact, they still may be happening in our own backyard. So, you never know. We hope not. But we truly hope not. But
a friend of mine lived in Vancouver for quite some time, and she was saying how the transgender people there, or transsexual people there, had to dress almost like hookers. Okay. In order to get the pass.
Yeah.
My own therapist in Ottawa, she really leant toward a trans woman dressing very feminine.
Oh. Okay, so mine was just gender appropriate, whatever that meant. So, you know, jeans were fine. You know,
jeans were probably okay with her, but if you dressed nicely, she certainly remarked on it.
Oh, okay. Isn't that interesting?
She's retired now, so.
Okay, well, there we go. So there we go.
Another point is that transgender people who are not transsexual do not have to jump through medical hoops to get the medical care they need. Mm-hmm. It's getting easier, especially in Ontario, for now, but the problem hasn't been eliminated.
Oh, it's nowhere near eliminated. There's so much work to do.
Every general practitioner who have no problems prescribing hormones to those with a hormone imbalance, menopause being the most common reason, should have no problem treating transgender patients. Yet, many do have a problem and would rather refer them to specialists. Mm-hmm. Even endocrinologists in Kingston, most endocrinologists, have the same problem. And they are the specialists.
Exactly. Yes, they are.
But we've heard there's 6 of that specialty in Kingston, although there's one new one, which we'll mention in a moment. Yeah. And none of the 6 see transgender patients. My last line here, this may have changed recently as things are getting better, and I'm told by my co-host that they have.
Yes, so in total there are 7 endocrinologists in Kingston, and initially none of them would see transgender patients. Some were because they were not comfortable with treating transgender patients because they didn't feel they were up on the protocols, and of course they didn't want to do harm to a patient. So I understand not wanting to do harm to a patient. I get that. However, the protocols and blood work levels are the exact same as for cisgendered women, so there's nothing really to learn as far as that goes. The protocol is very straightforward. However, there is now one endocrinologist that I believe is just starting to see patients here in Kingston as far as like as short as a month ago. So things are looking up. So no more traveling to Peterborough or Ottawa or Toronto.
Yeah. For those of you who just tuned in, this is Gender Talk Kingston, and I'm with my co-host, Aaron, and we're talking about transsexual versus transgender. So why are we talking about this issue? Well, it's kind of an introduction to a news article from 2 years ago. The story starts off with UBC's Out Week, which is done in February each year. The Pride Collective at UBC had raised the Pride flag at the Flagpole Plaza before the Family Day long weekend, and it was discovered missing on Tuesday. On further investigation, remnants of the scorched flag were found still attached to the pole.
Mm-hmm. So that UBC is University of British Columbia.
Yes.
So there was quite the reaction, and the Pride Collective statement said, in part, and I quote, This is a suspected hate crime of intentional destruction to a very publicly important symbol for the LGBTQ plus community. The rainbow flag is a widely recognized symbol representing different various pillars of celebration for many individuals, from unity and community to liberation and activism. As it stands currently, we do not know who did this violent act or why they did it. We believe it's important to share this difficult news with our wider communities as we move forward with the rest of Outweek 2016.
They also announced that they were canceling the F the System march the next day. The F stands for something else, as you can imagine.
We're not going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. UBC itself, the college itself, also released a statement that we are not reading in full, but states, quote, UBC condemns this incident as an act of hate and in contravention of the values of equity, inclusion, and respect deeply held by the university community. UBC fully supports Outweek 2016, which is an annual celebration of gender and sexual diversity organized each year by the AMS Club Pride Collective at UBC, with support from UBC units, including the Equity and Inclusion Office. One note is the Flag Shop, which is based in Vancouver, has a website you can check out, and they offered to replace the flag free of charge.
Mm-hmm. So a good statement from UBC, so it was good for them to do that. So mm-hmm. It turns out that the offender was a transsexual woman by the name of Brooklyn and is one of many women who transitioned and considered herself to be a woman without any adjectives like transsexual or transgender, as many in the community do.
Yes.
She's a woman, period, end of discussion. Which, again, many people in the community consider themselves that way. Correctly so. She doesn't believe that she should be lumped in with the term transgender and certainly not with LGBT. And at Gender Talk, we agree with that.
Well, I do anyways. And that's why I wrote that.
Well, I know it, but I do. I do as well, obviously. Yep. So,
Brooklyn says, 10, 12 years ago, I was just a tall woman and nobody thought anything of it. Because these gender nonconformers are being so loud and proud, now everybody looks, and they can see, oh, that tall woman with a deep voice. Maybe she's not a woman.
Right. So before that, it was like she could just go about her life, and yeah. There was no issues at all. So Brooklyn does feel regret for burning the flag, and she feels she should have just lowered it and folded the flag up and placed it on the ground. So, you know, cooler heads prevail, hindsight's 20/20.
Yes.
But her feelings against being included with the LGBT community has only gotten stronger. So obviously she didn't consider herself to be the L part of LGBT either.
No.
Which is my connection to the LGBTQ community, as I'm the L part. So
I am as well. Anyways, apparently court documents do identify her by her current name and dead name.
Which I don't understand.
Oh my God. So the repercussions of her actions have just made her situation worse.
She was outed.
Yep. The charges against her were dropped, partly because no one would admit ownership of the flag, and convicting her of anything became that much more difficult.
Which is interesting, because you'd think it would belong either to UBC or the Out Week people.
But it actually belonged to the UBC group, because they owned the flag.
Exactly.
But so they wouldn't admit to it to the police because they didn't want her.
Exactly. So that was the actions they took so that charges could not be pressed. So, So there's a problem with assigning trans, transgender, or transsexual adjectives to transgender people after they have transitioned. The point of the surgery is to become the other sex, and having any of these attached is contrary to the purpose of the medical treatment. Totally agree.
Yep.
No other medical treatment does this. You'd never hear of someone being identified as cancer survivor Susan or heart attack survivor Pete. If you remember Jenna Taklakova, who fought to compete in the Miss Universe Canada after being initially disqualified for being transgender, you may notice that any news article with her will usually have the adjective transgender used. Like, seriously?
Is this really necessary? Like,
no, absolutely
Anyways,
not necessary.
Our time has run out, and actually, we're actually over time. Yeah. So, here we go.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jules.